Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Michelle Wilbur. Wilbur is a licensed nutritionist, personal chef, and owner of Green Cuisine. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in dietetics from the State University of Oneonta and did a dietetic internship at Syracuse University. She also holds certifications in adult weight management and medicinal botany. She offers nutritional consultations at the Center for Health in Ithaca, New York. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thanks, Tish.
Now, what was it that got you interested in nutrition in the first place?
You know, that's a good question, because I actually wanted to be a professional chef and had no interest in nutrition until I started working at a health spa when I was in college and became pretty interested in just different diets and combining that with food. So I changed my degree. I was going for food and business and then was going to get a culinary degree. And I changed that to nutrition and followed in a dietetics track.
Oh, what do you think perked your interest in that?
I think that a lot of people get really hung up on how to prepare healthy meals. And so I like the idea of combining the culinary aspect with the nutrition. Having the knowledge base of food, recipes, designing recipes in the kitchen, having that background, which I've actually worked with chefs since I was 14, so I've had a really strong culinary background. Being able to apply that to healthy food is often a challenge. And so in my one-on-one counseling, I can work with clients and how to, you know, make food interesting. So it's not just cottage cheese, rice cakes, and cauliflower.
That's what people are afraid of, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take away all the good stuff.
Yeah, I want to talk about this too. This is an era when we hear so much about obesity, and it's an epidemic in this country. Why do you think it is still such a challenge with all this information out there for people to eat well?
You're right. There is so much information, and I think we're all inundated with it. I think that we're also all very busy, and so it's difficult to prepare meals, to plan ahead and eat a balanced diet.
Mm-hmm.
We also have access to food in ways that we didn't 50 years ago. There are convenience stores that are open 24 hours a day, grocery stores that are open 24 hours a day. We have access to food at all hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We're also triggered by things like TV, radio.
I was going to say we're inundated
media.
With advertisements,
yes,
to get people to start eating.
And
usually it's junk food.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so that's the other piece to it, is there's a lot more, we have a lot more food available, but a lot of that food available is processed food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I tell a lot of people, my clients, but also when I'm doing talks and seminars, is that the processed food typically has more calories, fat or sugar, maybe more salt, might taste good, might be good for the moment, but it typically doesn't fill you up and make you feel full. So within an hour,
mm-hmm.
you're hungry again.
It's usually carbs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A muffin. You know, a muffin for breakfast, even though it has, you know, most muffins are around 450 calories. A nice, good-sized muffin.
That is such a shock when you hear that, isn't it?
That's a lot of calories.
It is.
And then in an hour, you're hungry again. And so you're eating another 300-400. And so it adds up. We have vending machines. And so we just have access to food.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other piece to it is we're not moving as much.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kind of planted in front of their computers. We're not going down the hall. We're just sending emails or instant messaging, texting, all that sort
uh-huh.
of thing.
Uh-huh. So do you as a nutritionist think you need to start a movement and change the culture somehow?
Well, I think the culture is shifting. Certainly with our new presidency, that's gonna shift a little bit. There's more focus on fruits and vegetables. I think it's happening. There's more focus on local foods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Really, you know, there's that whole slow food movement. So really slowing down. I was actually just with a client, Tish, that, you know, she said all week she was noticing that when she was eating and doing something else, like watching TV, or what we often do is check emails
mm-hmm.
and eat.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you look down at your plate and the food is gone and you didn't even realize it. So how can you slow that down and really think about what you're eating? And enjoy the not only the flavor but the smells, and I think that's happening. Mm-hmm. It's slow, but it's happening.
Yeah, that's very typical of an American culture thing too, because in Europe people still sit down at the table often, especially in the evenings, savor the food, conversation,
absolutely,
spend an hour or two.
Yeah.
Too bad we can't change back to the old world culture in some
ways. I know it.
Now you know what I want to ask you too. When people come to you for nutrition advice, is it often because of a medical diagnosis,
mm-hmm,
and you work with medical doctors and help people with that?
That's a good percentage. I get referrals from doctors. I would say the biggest percentage of people are self-referred. They're ready to make a change. They need the support. I try to do my nutrition counseling a little bit different than just what we learned in school was it was nutrition education. So you're just giving the information and hoping that they're changing. But what I try to do is a little bit more of a coaching, lifestyle coaching kind of approach so that we can look at what can work within your lifestyle, because everybody's different. We all have, mm-hmm, different lifestyles. Some, mm-hmm, people like to, you know, get up early, get up late. You know, we're all so different.
Yeah. And but people do need to change their behaviors, correct?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't just,
yeah,
hand them a diet.
No.
Or a recipe.
It doesn't work. And so I think a big part of it is behavior. And so people are self-referring because they realize that, you know, they need to make some shifts in their behaviors, their habits, and they need support in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see a lot of people that are, the doctors are referring them because of high cholesterol, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you, are these some conditions that really can be changed by diet?
Absolutely.
You have seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about it.
Oh, a good example is a client who made just some small changes in her diet, continued with her exercise because she was already exercising. So she had gotten her cholesterol checked and it was elevated. The doctor wanted to put her on medication. She said, give me 3 months.
Mm.
She dropped her cholesterol by 62 points. Just small changes in diet and exercise. And when I say small changes is, you know, we often think if we're going on this diet, we need to, you know, just embark on this really intense change. And then it works for a week or a day or a month.
Exactly, exactly.
And then we go back to our old habits. And really just making small lifestyle changes, adding a little bit of fiber, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, being more aware of fruits and vegetables, makes huge changes.
Mm-hmm.
I have another client who actually has drastically reduced his blood sugars just by shifting his plate. So this is something that I talk a lot with people, Tish, is rethinking their plate. And I have people kind of envision, and you know, this is good over radio because we think about, instead of drawing it, because I often draw it for people, is you think about your plate, cut your plate in half, cut half in quarters. In one quarter, you want to try to put some carbohydrates. People are diabetics, often their doctors say, you know, watch the carbs. But we don't think about what are the good carbs.
Mm.
Good carbs are the ones that have fiber, are more whole grains, less processed. So a quarter of the plate should be carbohydrate. A lot of people exclude carbohydrates because they think that's good, but,
mm-hmm,
that could have health, you know, could affect your health later on in a negative way. The other quarter of the plate is protein. And I think, you know, eating out, protein is often at least half the plate.
It is.
A piece of salmon is 8 to 12 ounces. A steak might be 13 ounces. We really only need a 3 to 4 ounce portion.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a deck of cards. That's 3 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like much, but, you know, it's important to have it as part of your plate, but just, you know, really watching the how much.
Mm-hmm.
And then filling in the plate with fruits and vegetables. So, you know, really increasing the fiber, you're increasing the antioxidants, you're increasing the volume. A lot of us think if we look at our plate and we've really reduced the starch, we've really reduced the protein, well, it doesn't look like much. But we fill it in with, you know, lots of fruits and vegetables, salads, chopped tomatoes, whatever strikes your fancy. You may even want to do something a little bit different.
Makes a big difference.
Even frozen vegetables,
uh-huh,
are okay.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So filling, uh-huh, in that plate, you've increased the volume, increased the fiber, and definitely increased the nutrition.
But you must be really dissatisfied with the fact that this culture has gotten into such huge portions. That is one of the major problems with people and obesity, I believe.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw the recent study about the joy of cooking, how the recipes have increased in terms of how much it yields, and then they've decreased how many people it serves.
Oh.
I think Nestle Toll House cookies used to make 100 cookies, that recipe in the back of the bag,
mm-hmm.
Nestle Toll House chocolate chips, that recipe used to make 100 cookies. Now it makes 60.
That's
same exact recipe.
Size.
So portions have grown, and we don't use our bellies to determine portion. We use external factors. So a restaurant or going to a deli and seeing a big sub, that's what we think of as a sandwich now.
Oh, this is just amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And well, why is it this culture seems to be so into so much protein? Like we feel like we have to have so much protein. Where's that coming from?
You know,
and that isn't necessarily coming from ads and outside factors, but we do. People think if they have a big steak
right.
and a carrot stick, that's a balanced diet, you know?
Absolutely. I think that probably could get into a very long political discussion. But I will say, what I often tell people is compare different cultures and look at, if you go and have a Chinese meal or an Indian meal, often it's small bits of chicken or beef mixed in with the vegetables on top of a pretty good sized portion of rice. So, you know, really, again, rethinking that plate a little bit, you don't need that big piece of steak or even a whole chicken breast is sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack when I think about the steaks we were brought up eating, you know, and
uh-huh.
it's something that a lot of us were brought up in middle class homes here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We had to have these huge pieces of meat
mm-hmm.
and every night.
Absolutely. What's for dinner? Chicken or beef, it's not,
and
never carrots.
I know, and we used to get really upset if it was fish,
because
we didn't like
yeah.
fish. Now, you are a professional chef, as you said. Now, how does one claim that title? Tell us what you had to go through to become a professional
chef.
Well,
if I may correct you, I'm actually, and have been for many years, a personal chef.
Ah.
And so what I did was take my culinary background, and once I got my degree, I actually worked in a hospital for a long time, and was educating the patients, giving them the diet and sending them home. And I saw the disconnect. And so what I did was start a business, and it was called Green Cuisine. So I would go to people's homes and cook their meals for them.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy meals, people that had restricted diets, or, you know, maybe some people couldn't chew. They had to, we did a lot of blending. I mean, there were a lot of different ways that I helped people make healthier meals. So go into their home, go to a grocery store, and do that. I've actually since stopped that. I've do mostly just one-on-one nutrition counseling and consulting.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps with the nutrition counseling because I'm able to help people think through recipes and think about food in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And so where did you learn about all these recipes? Are you somebody who goes home and experiments? And
that's a good question. So I actually, my mom's good friend owned a catering company. She started it actually when I was in high school, and so I was her first employee.
Hmm.
And so she taught me everything I know. She gave me my first set of knives, and I worked in a professional kitchen with her for a long time. And then, you know, when I left home, I continued in different capacities at a number of health spas, restaurants, that sort of thing.
Hmm. So you learn just as you go along, I would assume.
As I went along, absolutely.
And how to make nutritious meals for people, depending on their health
mm-hmm.
needs and so on. Now, as both a nutritionist and a consumer, are you worried about the hormones and so on that are in our foods because of hormones being fed to cows and,
mm-hmm.
and it comes out in our cheese and milk? Tell us what you think about that.
That's a good question. I tend to be moderate in my approach with nutrition. For a lot of people, they can't afford to worry about that. So they can't afford things like organic meat or organic dairy. So I really try to, again, if we focus back on eating smaller portions, you're not getting as many of the hormones. They're probably not the greatest thing for us. There have been studies that they're, you know, have ill effects.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think if we're focusing on 2 to 3 servings of dairy a day. So a serving of dairy is not that big. It's not a 12, 16-ounce glass of milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just
mm-hmm.
8 ounces. Really being moderate about how you eat, I think you actually get a lot less hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in favor of eating locally if you can. but I don't think it's accessible to everybody.
You're right about that, incomes.
Exactly, especially, mm-hmm. and now with the economy the way it is. So I try to get people to think about, well, if they can eat organic or free range, you know, a lot of people just know somebody at work that might have a farm on the side or might have a few chickens, they can get some eggs. You know, kind of doing it that way, you're eating some local chickens, you're helping somebody that's local, and, you know, it might be affordable, but mm-hmm. it may not be something that everybody can choose.
Mm-hmm.
So doing the best you can, I think that's important.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Michelle Wilbur. She's a nutritionist. Now, as a chef and a nutritionist, you must have studied some of the eating habits in other countries like France and Asian countries where there isn't so much obesity, isn't so much diabetes. Do you incorporate that into the diet tips that you give people?
Absolutely.
Olive oil and you
absolutely.
Know.
So the fats, so olive oil, healthy nuts, I think that, again, you know, a lot of other cultures are not eating really large portions of meat.
That's so part of it too, isn't it?
We're coming up on a little bit of a theme, aren't we?
and
so many fresh fruits and vegetables. And so, you know, thinking about that plate, in France, they eat really small portions.
They do. And they eat real butter, and they eat
absolutely.
Cream, and they drink a lot of wine.
And they eat bread.
Lots of wonderful bread.
Yes, absolutely.
And they don't have the kind of health problems that we do. So you think it's portions?
I really think it's portions. There's somewhat, you know, if you think about what it is to be satiated versus what it is to be full. And I think in the United States, we tend to want to achieve this level of fullness of, wow, I feel really full, almost to the point of I need to unbutton my pants.
Exactly.
And that's after every dinner. It's not, you know, it's not just saving it for Thanksgiving. I think it's different in other cultures. It's not, wow, I'm so full. It's I'm satisfied. And that'll hold me until the next meal. I think, you know, slowing down, that's another big part of it.
And being mindful of what you're eating.
Absolutely.
And paying attention to that.
Yeah. So bringing in how other cultures eat is really important part of my counseling. I think also using different herbs and spices is important. You don't need as much fat if you're bringing in flavor from toasted cumin and mm-hmm. coriander and, you know, fresh herbs like basil and rosemary. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you can really utilize those, and people can have those right in their garden.
Yeah. It's a good substitute for too much salt, too.
Absolutely.
Which is also part of our problem. Now, if you could tell somebody who just wants to lose 10 pounds or 15 pounds one thing that they could change in their diet, what would you tell them? Stay away from processed foods, portions. Well, what would be one major tip you would tell people?
Well, did you know that an extra 100 calories every day at the end of the year is 10 pounds? And I think what happens is a lot of people go for their annual physical, and all of a sudden their weight has crept up. So an extra 100 calories, Tish, well, 100 calories is 4 Hershey Kisses. It's about 1 slice of bread, depending on what kind of bread you get,
exactly,
but it's
yeah.
1 slice of bread. It's 1 ounce of cheese. So if you hold up your thumb, that's 1 ounce of cheese.
That's not very much.
No,
is it?
It's not. And so if we start thinking about eating just a little bit less, we're going back for seconds and maybe just going back for the vegetables or skipping out on the butter on the veggies and, you know, doing something like lemon pepper.
Mm.
You're all of a sudden saving a few calories here and there, and that makes a difference. People won't get immediate results, but it'll be a long-term thing. It'll be something that they can incorporate over the year, as opposed to let's quickly lose it, lose those 10 pounds, and then it creeps back on.
Yeah, and then they'll find out that they can taste better when they're not covering everything in butter and
absolutely.
All this crazy stuff that people smother
yeah.
on things, dips and
absolutely. You know, thinking about, you know, splitting that chicken breast in half. Or, you know, you get a steak and it's 6 or 8 ounces, just cutting that in half and trying to start with half, trying to serve the food onto the plate and then going to sit down and leaving the food in the kitchen or packaging and putting right in the refrigerator for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really slowing down and thinking about places that you can just eat a little bit less does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And I know sugar has gotten a bad rap through the years. There have been books written about it. I remember Sugar Blues that came out about mm-hmm. 20 years ago. Well, what's your take on sugar? In moderation, is it okay, or should people try to stay away from it because it changes moods and mm-hmm. it can make you jittery?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, again, going back to that word of moderation, I think that's important. If anyone's trying to completely exclude, you know, one big, pretty big food group. Now, sugar is not classified as a food group per se, mm-hmm. but it's in a lot of foods. If we try to exclude something big like that, I think it ends up backfiring later on. You know, people start thinking about it, and all of a sudden they eat it, and then they go hog wild and eat a bunch of it. So how can you eat it in a little bit more moderation? I love the use of dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is extremely high in mm-hmm. antioxidants, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have as much sugar. So often people can have just one piece of dark chocolate, a small piece of dark chocolate, and be satisfied. If you're eating, you know, chocolate that has a lot more sugar, it gets your taste buds going, and all of a sudden you want more.
Yeah.
I love the use of dried fruit. They're pretty high in sugar, and you know, I don't know if you've had the white Turkish figs that you find at Green Star, but they're delicious. And just one is really satisfying.
Huh.
So having sugar, but being watchful of how much you use in things like coffee, and, you know, people do play around with alternative sweeteners like stevia, or, you know, you can use honey in your tea. You know, I think really, again, going back to how to lose those 10 pounds, being watchful. You know, are you adding 4 teaspoons of sugar to your coffee? Can you cut back to 2? Can you cut back to 1? Mm-hmm. Really kind of looking at being a little bit more moderate, I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. And do you try to stress to people that they should read labels? Because there's so many hidden sugars and salts and fats
mm-hmm.
in canned goods and soups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people get really tricked
with processed food.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean,
in order to keep it on the shelf, it needs to have some kind of salt or sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I think in general, the more fruits and vegetables and fiber people eat, the less sugar they crave, and so they're feeling more satisfied. They're feeling more balanced. They feel more full. It actually holds you longer, so you actually don't crave sugar as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people that have a good hearty breakfast, a good substantial balanced lunch, don't get those 3 o'clock blues where you're going to the coffee machine or going to
the
vending machine.
Snack vending
exactly,
machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And do you stress to your clients the importance of having breakfast, as so many people do in regard to nutrition and health?
Absolutely. I think in any case, when you skip a meal, you see the effects later. So often people will need to eat either a bigger lunch, but what I see often is people eat, once they get home, they just eat from the time they get home until the time they go to bed. So having that breakfast maintains energy. I have people that report increased memory, increased brain power. You know, their overall cognition is better.
When they have breakfast.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And I often try to get people to think about a high-fiber breakfast that includes a little bit of protein, something like some whole grain bread with peanut butter and a banana. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite breakfasts,
absolutely.
Actually.
Or, you know, we're just getting through winter, but oatmeal, some fruit, maybe a few walnuts on top. That's a really good hearty breakfast. It's going to keep you going for at least 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I've known so many people, and you hear about it on the media and everywhere, about people who constantly are dieting and gaining the weight back and dieting. How do you as a coach try to help those people in regard to changing their behaviors? There can't be one diet that helps people. They have to change their lifestyle.
Absolutely. And I think what we do as a culture is see so many diet books or diet products and think that it actually, you know, this one's going to be it. This is going to work. It's about changing your behaviors. It's about looking at your food habits. What are some habits?
You constantly probably have to reinforce people in their good habits, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's kind of like a budget. If we start looking at how much money we spend, you know, spending money here or there, do we really need to do that? It's the same thing with food. All of a sudden, you're eating because you're in front of the TV. They just, for you, go hand in hand. Well, is that a habit that you can break? Can you do something else? Maybe start up knitting or paint your nails or give your significant other a massage. You know, do something that's going to keep you busy, that's not going to have you focus on, oh, well, I always eat when I watch TV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think people eat out of boredom, anger, loneliness,
anxiety.
Sadness, anxiety.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So really, how do you stop that process? And that's part of the nutrition counseling coaching that I do, is really taking a look at that. How can we interrupt that process of, oh my goodness, I'm eating because I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to eat dinner, but I'm not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really looking at those habits, I think that's going to cause a long-term, not just weight loss, but a long-term healthy lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people aren't even aware that they're doing it. So probably just pointing it out is a great beginning. You know,
absolutely.
People unconsciously eat often. I've seen it.
I tell people to become a food snob. So if you know, what do? You've been looking forward to the chocolates that are at the office, and you open the box, and the only ones left are the cherry cordials. You hate cherry cordials, but you eat it anyway because you want those chocolates, and you don't even really enjoy it. But guess what? That was 75 calories that you just ate. And if you eat two, you know, that quickly adds up. And so, you know, eat foods that you really enjoy, take your time, and it becomes a whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think people probably feel better about themselves when they take control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, tell us, just from your point of view, is there any such thing as an anti-aging diet that we hear touted here and there? Mm-hmm. Are there foods?
I think, Tish, the anti-aging diet is the same as the good virility diet or the weight loss diet. They're all the same. And it's similar to what I had said earlier of you know, shifting your plate, eating whole grains, lean proteins, and lots of fruits and vegetables.
So you don't believe these magical diets that people talk about in regard to every ill?
No. If you're eating that way, you're not eating a lot of processed food. You're not eating a lot of food that causes inflammation. You know, eating foods that are fresh or, you know, eating an abundance of fruits and vegetables, that's going to have an effect on your skin, on your heart, on your eyesight, all of those things.
Your stamina.
So
that's
going to make a difference on your aging process.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, we're almost out of time. Can you give some contact information, how people can get in touch with you? And
well, probably the easiest way to contact me would visit my website, which is grcuisine.com.
And then that stands for Green Cuisine,
which was
your business. And Michelle will be glad to take your questions and help you with all of your food needs. You also write a column called Small Bites for the Ithaca Journal,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we can look forward to seeing that.
That's the first Wednesday of every month.
Okay, great. Well, Michelle Wilbur, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tish.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation in support of the Out of Bounds radio show, please contact our fiscal sponsor, the Arts of the Southern Finger Lakes, at earts.org. That's earts.org. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.